Hi, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? I am recording back in my home club, Melrose Improv, and I have a guest coming, Kirk Fox. He's on his way right now. Kirky, of course. Can't wait to have him. It's been a great week. It's great being back in LA. I realized that I can't stand traffic. Like now I've lost my immunity to it, but I'm obsessed with the ocean and my friends here. I just went to the ocean and jumped in. It was breathtakingly beautiful. So we just made our first episode of Case Closed, Beers Open Live. You can get it on iTunes now, I think soon. iTunes just approved it, but I don't know when it's actually going up. So I would love for you guys to check it out. This is the opening. Amy's our narrator because my brother and I felt that it needed a female's touch because it's a little too me and him. But it's been a blast. We're just kind of doing it because we've always wanted to work together and we're running out of time. We're both middle-aged men with children now. So we're just having a blast. And there's no politics. There's no heavy concepts. There's no social deconstruction. It's just funny stories that we write as we do tree work. My brother does tree, like he cuts down trees. He's unbelievably good at it. And I'm his groundsman. I just kind of pull brush and like do a lot of heavy lifting. And we just meet people like homeowners that have us cut down trees and we just make characters out of them. All these characters are like based in reality. But anyway, here's the opening of Case Closed, Beers Open.
Eyes are glossy from their shiny minds.
Well, I have an EpiPen.
Great idea.
You call them when cops just don't have the time.
If he smoked weed, I'd know right where he is.
They hear your worry, your story, your fear.
All I seen was the ass end of a deer as it passed. It's almost like a dream.
And best of all, you pay them with beer.
There's beer in the fridge.
No guarantees how things will go.
You idiots! I know it's you! And I know for a fact you have beekeeper outfits.
But these brothers will get the case closed.
And don't steal our beer!
Case closed.
Beer's open.
Boys, I can't find Grizz anywhere.
Well, canvas a 100-mile radius. I have a friend who's a Boy Scout leader.
Okay.
And we'll get the Boy Scouts to come up here. And we're going to tell them they're looking for butterflies.
But they're really looking for Grizz.
Right, they'll know. I mean, we'll know if they find Grizz. We can't tell them that there's a Sasquatch. We'll tell them we're looking for a Sasquatch. We'll get the Boy Scouts to get their merit badge while at the same time looking for Grizz.
Perfect.
Case closed.
Beer's open.
If he smoked weed, I'd know right where he is. But if he did meth, he's gone. Who knows where he is? If he does coke, he cleans like a wild man. Must be meth, because his bike is here.
What? That made no sense at all.
Everyone loved Grizz, especially the boys. He was a local legend and a kind guy with a huge beard, but the boys knew nothing about drugs.
What's coke? Is that a type of beer?
Oh, it's caterpillar feces. I learned that in high school.
The boys went down to the watering hole to talk to Coop, who was a near expert on almost everything. They needed more information. Time was running out, and they needed to find Grizz.
Grizz is missing. Do you have any ideas? You've known him for a long time. Where do we look?
Well, you know, Grizz, he gets into the hard stuff. Depending on what he did, you'll find out where he went.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, smokes a bunch of weed, wound up in the basement. He does a bunch of blow, starts cleaning all the knickknacks, does the dishes, and, you know, sometimes he gets in the mess, just heads straight for Malone.
He goes to the city of Malone?
Oh, yeah.
But his wife said his bike was in the driveway.
Oh, he doesn't take his bike. He's hoofing it.
With shoes?
No shoes.
Why does he go to Malone?
No one knows why he goes to Malone.
The boys didn't want to admit to Coop that they had no idea what meth was. So they went to a friend who was a professor of chemistry.
Amphetamine, speed.
Right.
It's just like...
All right, you guys get the idea. Like, that guy that was about to start talking really is a chemistry professor, and he's trying to explain to us what meth is. And we're buffoons in it. The joke's always on us. And we promise our clients that we don't crack our beers until their case is open. Or their case is closed, and our case is open. And it's all based in Saranac Lake, where I live now. So all these, like, little references are all part of the Adirondack Mountains. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, and I'd love for you all to subscribe once it's available on iTunes, which I believe is today, because it'll be fun. Anyway, back to a little Why Didn't They Laugh, more intense ideas. That's more like brain candy. That's more just like fun stories. You can pretty much play it in front of your kids. There's a couple F-bombs, but nothing crazy. It's a family-valued thing, kind of, but we talk about meth, I guess. Wait till you hear Grizz's voice. Grizz, we're doing tree work for Grizz, who really is a local legend up there. He's like a 64-year-old biker with a long beard. He's just such a nice dude. He's like, there's no stopping me now. Anyway, I wanted to talk today about babies. I had some really funny emails because sometimes I'll do corny dad jokes on Instagram with a picture of Walter, and I'll say some corny joke. And Nick Swartzen was like, oh, keep these jokes coming. I can't stop laughing. They're so funny. Like, I love like super shitty dad humor. So then I went back at him and I was like, oh yeah, keep like the pictures of you and celebrities coming. What's up, Kirky? I love that you know Stephen Dorff. It's like really impressive. So we keep going back and forth, and I got all these emails from people being like, are you and Swartzen fighting, or was that a joke? And it was a joke, everyone. Me and Nick are making our long-distance friendship work just fine. We were joking and texting and laughing the whole time. So if you got upset that me and Nick were making fun of each other, we were... Come on in, Kirky. Kirk Fox is in the house. Yes, big time. So I think the reason I love posting pictures of my baby is because I've come to the conclusion that babies are cult leaders, and they break you down with screaming and sleep deprivation. They break you down until you're just like, look at how cute his pants are. Yeah, hop on. I need the mics. Hey, it's great to see you, bud.
It's good to be seen.
I just jumped in the ocean and did some deep sand walking, and I thought of you and your pops, little Raya.
Trudging in the deep sand. Raya. There's no O Raya. That's a constellation.
That was
straight up Raya.
It's the Irish Raya. That's O'Raya.
Right. I like it.
Yeah, O'Reilly. I miss you, bud.
O'Reilly.
I love that our long-distance friendship is working great.
I think it's strengthened it.
I think it's even better.
It's made me appreciate how special you are. Creating life, you have made me want to make a human being.
You've made me want to be a better man.
Well, it seems to be working.
Although I look pretty homeless right now.
But that's a good look. You got to twinkle, so you don't need clothing.
I got some soap at a gas station and rinsed off in the ocean.
Salt water's strong.
It really is. Because I stayed in a hotel near the airport last night. I had buddies that were like, yeah, you can crash. And for some reason, I just, I don't know. I'd rather just be in charge of when I go to bed and wake up.
When you come into town like this, you want to pretend that you're a bank robber and that you're just going to find a little hotel by the airport. And that's your base. They're either going to take you down there, but you don't want your friends involved.
No, and there's a sign by the door that said, police, we give the registration to the police every 24 hours. It was like that level of seedy.
But that's not seedy. That's safe.
Yeah, seedy is in like the seeds that plant for the next generation.
Yeah, you're growing safe crops. There. I'd like to stay someplace where the police are notified every hour who's there.
There's a lot of prostitutes walking in and out. It was right near a storage facility.
Oh, that's the best of both worlds. You can kill someone and put them right in a storage shed.
I've never slept better.
You look rested.
I really was. I was on Heidi and Frank this morning at like 6 a.m. So I wanted to get some sleep. I went to bed at 10. No baby crying. Just out cold.
I had a rough sleep, but I'm feeling good about it.
What happened?
Well, my girl's dog had some surgery over the last few days. There was a torn ACL, 14-year-old beagle.
Wow.
The beagles fought a couple coyotes. Good, strong life, but she's fat. So we went ahead and repaired it.
Stem cells?
No, they put something in there, a little bionic. But she can't put any pressure on it. So we're worried that she's going to pop the other one. That's how the vets get you.
The vets get you with fear.
They let you know that there's a good chance that the other will go. They give you the percentages.
They're like car mechanics. It's high stakes fear sales.
Same with Dennis. We got to pull this tooth before it starts just pouring mercury.
I haven't been to the dentist since 9/11.
You don't need to. You got good, strong teeth.
I do.
But the dog kept me up. Oh,
I'm sorry to hear that, Kirk.
That's all right. I got up at 3 and carried the dog outside to see if pee may have been what was causing the turmoil.
Yeah.
But because of my compassion training and my Buddhistic slant, I was patient with the dog, tolerant.
I was talking recently about empathy exercises. Do you do compassion training?
Yeah. I was a little late because I was doing some Tonglen meditation.
What's that mean?
Tonglen is when you breathe in the sadness of the world. You breathe in hardship, and then
breathe out happiness,
and then you give them the bright light that we all possess. I do Tonglen every day.
It sounds like martyrdom.
No, Tonglendom.
So you breathe in their hate and their sadness.
Just sadness of the world. You can heal most of the world with one good deep breath. You breathe it in as a dark smoke. And then when it's inside of you, mixing with some of your sadness.
And
you,
semen?
Yeah, if you go that deep, that's a deep breath.
I only know deep. That's why I made a baby with my ween.
Are you sure?
I stopped pulling out like a coward.
Why? Stay in there. Once you get in, be happy it's a wreck.
It's changed the way I see sex now. Like now I'm almost like, let's make more babies with this. I don't want to keep pulling out.
Do you want another kid?
Fuck yeah, I want like 4 of them.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're in deep.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I probably won't end up with 4, but I would. I'd do a whole bus full of
kids. But you're ready for another?
Hell yeah. She needs a little breather, which I understand. But she wants a bunch of kids, but she's still breastfeeding the little man. So if she got pregnant again, she'd have to
wean him. Is she working in the new town?
She's working hard, but not for money. She's just working with Wally.
To be a mother.
Yeah, being a woman.
And do you like your town you're in?
Obsessed with it. Obsessed.
You miss Los Angeles?
I miss
Angeles?
The people. I miss like being able to see you and people that are smart and funny everywhere. And I miss the ocean. I miss, shopping. Not that I'm a big shopper, but like, let's say.
Is there an ocean near you or a body,
no, there's lakes.
A body of water?
Lakes, yeah. I have a view of the lake. It's great.
Do you swim in the lake?
Not. I haven't yet, but I will.
And why is that?
I don't know. I've just been hanging with the brother. I mean, there's so much I like about that place way more, though. Like, every night my brother comes over, we have a bonfire, have beers, our kids play. It's heaven.
Yeah.
But
you look good. You look like how Owen should look.
Yeah, and Amy keeps telling me
you don't look as healthy as you used to, but that was a sadness.
It was a sad health.
Yeah.
Like, that 8-pack was riddled with demons.
Yeah, 6 of those packs were just sadness.
Yeah, I only had 2 authentic abs.
Yeah. And I see them now.
Yeah, just 2.
Yeah.
The other 6.
One's crooked.
That's fine. It's the gay one.
Why wouldn't it be?
But I don't miss the traffic, man. I was in the traffic today, and it was insane. It was just like absolutely, it was maddening.
Will you ever come back?
Like this? I'll come back every few months for sure. I mean,
Was your gig at the Improv, was that on the books, or did you set that up from...
I set that up after. I was doing San Fran, so as long as I was doing West Coast, I'm like, let's just head down and see the people.
So you're still going out, but just once a month now or something?
No, I mean, September, it's every weekend, but I'm taking off more. I'm trying to more, but because there was some expenses moving across the country. That was a bitch.
Really?
Yeah, moving the car, moving all our stuff.
Did you not drive the car?
No, we shipped it because we drove the other car.
Ah,
so yeah,
I would have followed you in the other and probably saved you a couple $100.
Yeah, we would have broken even with the alcohol expenses.
Yeah, that's true.
And we would have had to have a lawyer on retainer.
Well, I always have one.
So what's new with you? What's new?
Life, man.
You and your girl are doing good.
We're certainly staying the course.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
February 12th, there seems to be a marriage.
Wow,
a wedding is going to happen if I make it.
So I save the date, February 12th?
Yeah, you're in it. You can come.
I better be in it.
I mean, even though I wasn't invited to yours.
I had no friends at my wedding. It was only blood relatives.
All right. Well, I'll
she had just gotten pregnant, so we had to move things along pretty quick.
I'll let you know when it is, but Kevin Nealon will be doing the ceremony.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's the only way I could rationalize it. She's not allowed to call it a wedding.
You needed a headliner.
It's just a party. I stayed in too long.
Yeah.
Once you stay in a little too long, and I kind of talked to her dad before he died, and he was excited about it. One of the last things he said was, far fucking out.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you tell him about Kevin Nealon?
Maybe that's what he was responding to. He loved Weeds.
Dude, Weeds is fucking funny. First three seasons, then it goes a little.
I haven't watched enough of it.
It's good. Kevin Nealon, it's him and Norm, I guess. Or, I don't know. Who's your favorite all-time Weekend Update?
Boy, they were both great.
Different. So great.
I love Kevin, but I love Norm. Norm is a friend of mine still. And so is Kevin. I go out on the road with them sometimes. The three tall guys.
I
got to
see you guys together.
We call it 20 feet of comedy.
Genius.
Because we're all...
It's your dicks, though, you're talking about.
Yeah. We've never even stood up out there.
That's lying on your backs. Soft.
Nice.
My favorite thing about Norm was when he wouldn't let OJ go. And that's like... Apparently, is that one of the things that got him fired?
That was the thing.
Yeah, and he was like, OJ Simpson, who killed his wife. And he just wouldn't... And I relate to those obsessions.
Well, Don Ohlmeyer was... Best buddies with OJ.
Yeah, and Norm was 100% right, and he couldn't let it go.
I couldn't shake it.
I've had shit like that that has been bad for my career where I can't. Once I know something's true, it's so hard for me to not just keep saying it. Even when someone's like, dude, you got to shut up about this. I'm like, I can't now. Like, OJ definitely fucking killed his wife.
Of course he did. Everyone knew.
And that got him fired. That got Norm fired. What's your conspiracies right now? What do you think's going on out there?
I mean, isn't everything a little bit of a slant?
It is.
Everything's puppetry.
It's so crazy. My thing is I'm convinced that the internet is trying to convince everyone that cornfields are just filled with racists that don't exist.
Oh, there's something going on in those cornfields.
Yeah, but those dudes don't have phones. Like all these trolls that are like dropping hard ends and like coming at black people and shit and just being like old, like 1950s racist.
Well, I will tell you this.
I think they're not real. I think that it's a movement to limit speech somehow.
Phones are given out to the poor so that we always know where they are.
Is that true?
Because all these cops now, they're just tracking killers by their phones, by the ping.
Jesus.
That's it. So yeah, there's whole task forces that are just working with AT&T and Sprint, and that's how they're catching all these criminals. Their phones.
Yeah, it's hilarious because they can't stop tweeting.
They all have a phone. Yeah,
they're addicted. They got that morphine drip.
But if they turn the phone off, they're safe.
That's so.
But none of them can turn it off. And then there's the prepaid phones.
They're looking for retweets.
Yeah, give me one more like and.
God, we're so fucking predictable. We're so predictable.
Ego. That's the world we're in.
And I fall prey to it sometimes, and I understand it. Like, even understanding it, I still wish I had a 10-minute reset button where I'll go on some rabbit hole, and then 10 minutes later, I'm like, who fucking cares? Like, why do I get so obsessed about things?
But the fact that you can identify that you're being ego-driven is the first step toward diminishing it.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a hall of mirrors. And I think the physical labor I'm doing now helps me a lot. Like actually hauling trees and chopping down trees and shit.
Now, are these trees on your land or are you just walking around?
No, my
around?
Brother. Yeah, I just have an axe. Just a bunch of blow.
Why not?
My brother does tree work. So he has me do his groundsmanship and we're working on our new podcast.
Now, do you get paid?
He gives me cash, but that's not really the motivation.
But is that a podcast you're doing?
I got to play it for you.
Shouldn't you just film it? I started listening to it, but I was looking for a... There's no video.
No, we're gonna do more videos. I want you to... Dude, I need you in it.
Because I think what you guys are doing should just be a TV show out there.
Yeah, because like now I just did a benefit for cops because I want that sticker on the car. I got the sticker.
Did you?
Yeah. By like one of the task force
guys.
This
is in your town.
Yeah, Saranac Lake. So we do a tour.
Was it a welcome back, Owen? Thing where they
I was doing it genuinely as a benefit for them. I wasn't even looking for the sticker, but now that I see the power of the sticker, I'm pretty pumped I did the benefit.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was for families of fallen first responders. It was a tour de force. It was this charity thing. And then after all these cops were, cause I busted their balls, but in a respectful way, you know, and they were pumped. And now I feel safe when I see the cops versus terrified.
Yeah, the cops are there for us.
Yeah.
There's a few bad ones, but there's a few bad everything.
Yeah, I think New York State troopers are some of the best cops in the country. Because it's like college cops. It's not like GED fucking Scooby-Doo cops. It's like, oh, gee, Scoob.
And they like their job. They're not in. They're not really in the muck.
No, they're making $70K a year. They're not. They don't need to do the dirt. When you're giving a GED guy $30,000 a year.
Most state troopers do not want to pull out their gun.
No, they don't want the paperwork. And they're trained so that they like they don't get poked at. It's not like city cops sometimes where they're like, oh, shit. You know, they're like terrified. These dudes, their heart rate doesn't
rise. They're likable highway patrol.
Yeah, that's what they are. And they're great. They're good guys. They like beers. They like high fives. They like comedy. Yeah, there's this dude, Sniper Snickles. That was his name. One of the greatest names ever.
That's a cop's name?
He's a sniper and his last name's Snickles.
Wow.
Sniper Snickles. So yeah, this podcast.
Not a lot of work for snipers unless hunting season. Yeah, he can take out a deer.
Yeah, he's never had to snipe because there's not a lot of hostage situations in Saranac Lake. But I guess he's just a ridiculous shot.
The hostage situation in those towns, it's like, I got your daughter. Keep her.
Yeah, oh, totally. It's like, what do you want in return? It's like, a 12er of IPA.
Just marry her.
Yeah, marry her. Yeah, it's like, you'd love it up there, man. It's like a time warp. It's like there's people are artsy and interesting. It's not like...
But is this the town you grew up in?
A couple hours away. It's right near where I went to college.
But how'd you find this town?
My brother lives there. He got a job teaching there. So he's got the family, and I wanted family time. And it's...
Did you have a house before you went there? Did you pick one out?
I picked one out, and then we got it, and then we went there, and we've been doing work on it.
Did you buy it?
Bought it. Straight up.
Nice.
Bought that shit. So that's why I'm on the road a little bit now.
Yeah, we always got to pay for something.
You got to pay for something. But I think that I'm going to hit a zone soon where I'm going to have very few bills. I just have to get past this like hump of like down payment and moving and shit.
That's how I feel about marriage.
Yeah. Dude, there is
I'm marrying for land. That's how I'm.
That's how you should look at it.
I'm old fashioned.
You're algorithmic.
Yeah.
What's all this romance shit?
Romance kills marriage.
Big time.
You go in for business.
Only biz. That's why the Indians got it down.
My girl's got a house, an
apartment
building, a job. She's young and hot. I'm an old man. I'm investing in a caretaker.
My brother's new motto is 40's the new 80. Because he's like, bro, I'm just happy to be... Like, that's his mantra every day. Like, every time he goes up a giant tree, his job is so fucking dangerous. He's like, bro, 40's the new 80. I'm just glad to be here. Today could be it. I'm glad we're here together. And it gets a little dark.
How could that be dark if this guy's living in the moment?
He is. That's what he does.
That's how we should be.
He's the funniest. And he opened for me at that show, but he has no interest in stand-up. And I'm doing all this tree work, and I have no interest in tree work. And that's why our chemistry is so popping right now, because it's like I'm literally a Carhartt-wearing, lumber-carrying fucking blue-collar guy right now, and he's doing stand-up, and neither one of us are pursuing those careers.
But doesn't it feel good to work?
Unbelievably good. It's like my old trainer, Kevin Lilly, who's coming down tonight. Great, great dude. I used to call my therapist because I didn't need to talk. The last thing I need is to talk. Like, I went to one therapy session one time, and I felt like I wrapped the lady up in a bow and was, I'm like, I'm already a talker. Like, I need someone to say, move this heavy shit, like now, like move, strike this with an axe.
It's the happiest guys like us can be. My dad was a handyman. So when I get in there and do some things around the house where I will be moving into, now I'm starting to feel that this is my land.
Oh, you're gonna take so much pride.
Because she has an acre up in Laurel Canyon.
That's what we got. Acre in Laurel Canyon. That's
just,
real
just
shit.
Up in the mountains. And the greatest thing, I'll tell you this because it's my favorite thing that's happened since I saw you. But there was a jacuzzi up on one of the levels. There's three or four levels that go up the mountain.
Nice.
And on one of the levels, there was a jacuzzi that had been there maybe 25 years, a sunken, shitty jacuzzi.
Last time someone banged in there wasn't AIDS yet.
No, I think it started there because there was a monkey I found in the bottom.
Ground zero.
The ground zero. That's probably where it did start.
Yeah.
And this jacuzzi, her dad died a couple of years ago. So the jacuzzi, no one has used it probably in 3 or 4 years. And there was a leak. So the water was kind of draining out. And every week, a pool guy was coming to fill it, clean it. And I was just, I started losing my mind. Like, this guy is just fucking us.
Right. He knows it's a leaky jacuzzi.
It's useless. This jacuzzi is dead. You know, the deer come down and it's a killer.
Yeah.
So I told the guy, listen, let's stop. Let's just stop playing these games. Let it drain out. I'll go down there and I'll knock out a hole in the bottom and then I'll fill it with dirt and then I'll cement the top so that I'll make just part of the whatever the fuck it is. I mean,
yeah.
It was a jacuzzi in the middle of as big as this room.
Right.
It was just a jacuzzi in the middle.
So waste of space.
Yeah, let me just cement it over. So it drained out. And this took about a year because I was lazy, but I'd throw things in it. And then one day I said, I'm going to fill it with dirt. It's been 6 months. And after about, I'll tell you this because this is real, but after about three shovelfuls of dirt, throwing it into the jacuzzi, I knew everything there was to know about shallow graves.
Oh, dude, I had the same thought.
So listen, I'll tell you mine and we'll combine them. But after three shovelfuls, I started getting a blister. I know, we're in it. My back went out. And I understood that the commitment it takes to dig a deep hole.
Oh, dude,
is the
so commit true.
Is the commitment that would have been needed to make that relationship work that has resulted in you burying this woman.
Right. That's a great bit, man.
Yeah, because after three shovelfuls, I was just like, fuck, you're still a pain in my ass.
Right.
This is what the serial killer is thinking. You're still making me work. Fuck it. He just throws her in the shallow grave. And a cop has never said, hey, man, why the shallow grave?
Never once.
Because the serial killer would just point to the blister on his thumb.
Bro, that's such
like
a good
you
bit.
Just, I know. It's my favorite now, but it's real.
It's so true. Yeah, because I never verbalized it, but in my mind, I was like digging this hole because I had to fill all these holes in my yard. So I'm digging this hole that also became a fire pit, two birds, yeah. One stone. And I just remember thinking like, if you killed someone, you have like 8 hours of the worst labor ahead of you.
I spent 8 hours filling this jacuzzi with dirt, but I couldn't stop.
Because people forget about rocks and roots. It's not, you're not like shoveling snow in there. You have to break up roots.
And then you have to alternate because in my mind, I was like, man, my right arm's getting too big. You know,
hilarious,
the delusion of, fuck, I better balance this out.
Yeah. Like, that's so funny.
They're going to know that I did something crazy.
I know. I've been jerking with one arm since I was 10, and there's no difference.
I just use my mind so it gets stronger. I never even have to touch my penis.
That's incredible.
Just focus, man.
You're doing it right now.
Yeah. I came twice since I got here. But then I filled it with cement.
Yeah. I think if I was a killer, I would pre-dig and I'd use a machine.
Well, they do. A lot of them do.
They have pre-dug graves.
But now there's these sonograms that check for babies. They can check under the dirt now.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, there's a body down there. It's the same shit where they find fish.
Are they finding bodies?
Everywhere. There's three probably under this place.
Yeah, they're all like people that bombed on stage.
Yeah,
pretty
a lot
bad.
Of people after they bomb, they just take them out, shoot them in the back.
How would you dispose of a body?
Well, burning is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But I'm a big fan of 5 or 6 miles off the coast. Cement. Let the fish eat it.
Dude, you're big into cement lately.
Currents. I am now.
That's so funny. That's so fucking funny, man.
Cement's my life now. I study it.
Bro, that's me and wood right now. Like, I'm trying to get really, like, Case Closed Beer's open. We're going to make beer coasters that we actually sand ourselves and we brand it with Case Closed Beer's Open. Like, this shit is all I care about now. Like, I got so into painting recently. I painted the whole downstairs interior and I like, that's all I thought about. Like, all I could think about was rollers.
I dream about it. There's some holes in the driveway that I've started filling.
Dude, I'll start writing jokes for 10 minutes and then just start thinking of like housework. And that's all I fucking do. I converted the downstairs into a gym area. I got a heater just
so
I get my sweat on.
Like Nick Offerman from Parks and Rec, just likes to build tables.
Dude, I get it, man.
Shelves. It's all about wood.
It's completable tasks. That's why today on Twitter, I was losing my mind with conspiracy theories and shit about like fake racist bots and shits, because I don't have any task in front of me, so I'm attacking things that can't be completed.
Yeah.
I hate that shit.
No. You want to be able to see something through. Commitment.
Yeah. What do you think?
That's why it's important to pick one thing. You know, the Chinese say you can either be five fingers or a fist.
And then America says, or a gun.
Yeah. Well, pick one. One gun. Three guns, you're not going to know. One's going to jam.
Yeah.
Always go with a revolver.
Yeah. Two guns, you can't aim either.
No, and your one arm's always going to be weak, especially if you got a blister from digging the grave.
Dude, I have an intense blister. I just worked it through, though. I just kept working at it.
It'll be a callus soon.
That's what I'm going for. I was purposely not wearing gloves because I wanted to, you know.
I was wearing golf gloves. But I did it.
What's the next thing you're doing with the land?
There's another level up, and there's an old badminton court there that's 30 years old. I'm going to take that down and put a little golf driving range.
Genius. I want to meet this dude who owned it, or lady. Like, they sound pretty fucking trippy.
It's her parents.
Oh, it's her parents. Sweet.
It's the house he grew up in.
That's
I'm mirroring what my biggest fear was. My whole life was, man, I don't want to mirror my dad, because my dad just married my mom and then moved in with her and her mom. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. But now I realize that that's exactly what I'm doing, because Jaren and her mother have this house up in Laurel Canyon. We're going to get married, and then I'll throw the mom out, though. But my dad let my grandma stay. He had more heart.
Right. You got more cement.
Yeah. But it's good. Right up off Lookout.
Dude, we should do a tour.
Lions and deer.
I love deer.
They come down and...
They have balls, too. We have a lot of wild turkeys. You got to come up and visit, man.
I'll go right now.
It's so beautiful. It's like breathtaking.
I mean, I'm into it. I want to get out.
Yeah, and it's like we got a little over an acre, and all I do now is just like fuck with it.
And does the boy go with you on these journeys?
Sometimes. He's only 5 months old. He's still figuring out his dick and stuff.
Yeah, but you can figure that out outside.
Dude, kids are sweet. You should start throwing loads in there.
She said not to. You got to marry me first. There's a lot of extortion, but I don't care.
Yeah,
I figure once I have a child, I'll have something to care about.
And you really do, to almost an annoying degree.
And I need something to do during the day.
Yeah, you'll have shit to do, because they literally shit themselves and stuff. But the craziest thing, baby shit doesn't smell bad. There's no smell. It's like if they're breastfeeding, there's no smell. It's like nothing. I can't stand bathroom stuff. Like, I don't even do shit jokes on stage. I think it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
And I have no problem changing his diaper, because it's like funny. It's like there's no smell, and it just doesn't seem like real shit. It's just like fucking funny shit.
Just like pudding.
Yeah, it's just like, and he's just like giggling, and it just isn't weird. I can't explain it. It's just like, and I'm literally, I get fucking grossed out by like slugs. So I was like, no.
I think you did the right thing. I saw it when it was happening. We've always talked about trying to grow up and be different.
We've been talking about it for a long time. Yeah. It's been over a decade.
You beat me to it.
Not really. I mean, it's just like, I'm still not. Like, I still am a fucking idiot. All I care about is burning stuff. Like, we do all this yard stuff, and all I care, like, we have a bin for it, but instead I make sure that I get a really hot fire and I burn it. And then it makes all this fucking crazy smoke. She gets kind of pissed off, but she's supportive.
Have you had one big fight since you got there?
We fight well now, because she just kind of goes under my rage. And then I apologize within 2 minutes. Like, I'll be like, what the fuck? But, and she's Hispanic. Like, she used to just come at me twice as hard. And then we would just bicker like maniacs.
Where do you think your rage is coming from?
I think I'm a rageful person. I think I have that gene that
just a lumberjack gene.
Yeah, totally. That, you know, winter's coming and we don't have enough food and I'm about to fucking throw a punch at someone who turns the heat off. Like, I have that gene. And we get it from my mom. Like, she's just this 6'1" fucking Germanic Wisconsin chick who went to college in the fucking 50s. You know, it's like, she's got that, like, she's the type of lady where if you disrespect her, like, she'll make you go outside in the cold, like when you're a kid. and like loving. No, she never like beat us or anything, but it was just like.
But that's just, I just want you to know that's where your rage came from. A woman putting you outside in the cold.
See, she would always do it to my brother because I knew how to be nice to her. My brother would always get sent out in the cold.
Yeah, but this rage
and
is
that's why he has even more rage. No, I naturally have rage. Like it comes out, you know, that's why I originally started doing this podcast.
Have you thought about working on it and finding out
that was the whole
how to breathe through it, meditating?
Dude, my rage has gone down like so much. It's insane. Like the whole first 60 episodes of Why Didn't They Laugh was me dealing with flipping out on hecklers. And I just don't anymore. Like I think listening to myself, like when I'm calm, really opened up my eyes to how just weak rage is.
Well, once you get mad on stage, the heckler has won.
Yeah.
The trick is to just love them.
I know.
Be patient, tolerant, and just...
But don't you feel like sometimes deep knowledge like that makes life harder? Because, okay, for example, I feel it's the absolute value of emotions. Like the distance from 0, negative 8 is still 8, you know? Where it's like...
But emotions don't exist. They're just there because we've given them power.
Right. So let's say someone on Twitter is like, Donald Trump is a piece of shit. He's the worst. That's a compliment to him. And it's like some...
But also that person needs some compassion more than anybody.
Totally.
So that's my angle. And when I go on stage now, I tell them right away, I'm going to be open, present, vulnerable, inviting. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
I just try and talk with them, not at them.
Isn't it crazy
how that works? It's a new angle because it's feeling better.
Yeah.
I just would, ideally, I'd like to be seamless. I'd like to be able to go on stage the way I am right here.
You're really natural on stage.
It's getting there. It was a con for a long time. But now you still have to have some enthusiasm.
For sure.
They have to know you want to be there.
Yeah, you can't just take a nap. Like,
but it's finding that middle. And that's the trick of Buddhism. It's finding the middle.
But that compassion angle is incredible because I've now had people on Twitter that come at me in a way where in the past I try and exploit their weakness to win. And now I like will have like conversations and learn shit and like just be totally nice to people. And it's like if someone comes at you and you're just like, I didn't mean to disrespect you. Sometimes the change is so fast in their eyes where they're like,
one of the main points of Buddhism is drive all blame into one.
What does that mean?
Take the blame, take the heat.
Yeah. I like that. Suck in all the negative and breathe out just, good.
Yeah. That's Tonglen. But I mean, apologize to these people instead of attacking them. Because that just fuels more anger.
That's why I attack concepts. Because I do have this warrior fucking gene. So it's like, that's why I don't attack people. I attack concepts. And I come up with like conspiracy theories that don't really have victims
in them. But be the warrior that doesn't have to win.
Right on. I get what you're saying.
And then you're just uniting the whole world. You could unite all of Twitter. You just want to unite the world. Because ego is what's killing everyone.
Ego's killing
everyone. You attack these and want to exploit because you want to win.
I know, but like our vibe doesn't go viral. I did a post about it recently that
but
like-
nothing needs to-
Right. I know. That's fuck. Yeah, you're right, dude. That's the viral, next level of it.
Viral
is ego. But we're put in this position. I was one of the last people to get Facebook, to get Twitter, to get Instagram. I only recently got Snapchat because- Our livelihood depends on some of this shit. But now that I'm doing tree work, I'm starting to be like, fuck it all.
Nothing matters. Here's the one thing that you need to think about.
Right on.
Because we have access to a microphone, because there's a few thousand people or 10,000 that will listen to this, you have a platform to be compassionate, to convince people to be patient and tolerant and try and love. And dump egos and the things that we all think about. Nothing really matters except the moment.
On Twitter today, that's what I said. I was spiraling about free speech. And I go, to be honest, I'm just lonely and I miss my wife.
Exactly.
Like I thought that's how I ended it.
But at that moment, you are honest. And then everyone you are fighting with chilled.
Yeah, and I was fighting myself. Dude, swinging at ghosts is my problem.
That's everybody's problem.
Yeah, it's this hall of mirrors, man. It's just like, you know, I was working on a concept recently where, like, hunter-gatherers looked down at the earth for reverence, and then Westerners looked up at God, and now we look in mirrors. You know, it's this, and I'm trying to not, I do compassion exercises too, empathy exercises, yeah. And like, I think that this generation has it hard because they were the first ones to get all the info in their pocket. I'm doing a new bit about that where it's like, growing up, we didn't wear seatbelts because we thought that we could punch through glass. Like, we were fucking idiots, and that naivety allowed us to, like, search and be engaged and make eye contact and be like, you know, and the new generation, it's so easy to call them weak or pussies or fucking house cats, you know, but really they're dealing with a level that we never had to deal with, where we had one crumpled picture of a tit in the woods that we jerked to, and now they have every clip imaginable at all times in their pockets. And it's like, I think they're doing a good job given the situation.
I agree.
Yeah, it's like when Obama went gray in 1 month. Remember that?
The fact that they can focus ever.
Yeah, I think they're actually doing a great job. And the safe space shit, I used to hate it. And I still will have these ego twinges where I just want to fucking scream, like, be stronger. But it's like, we had a tape called Faces of Death, and it turned out to be bullshit anyway. Now it's like beheadings and murders and mass shootings constantly. And these kids are like 12. Their bullies follow them home.
Was Faces of Death not real?
Yeah, most of it was bullshit. It was staged.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I bring it up. I talk about how just sell. That's the world we live in.
Yeah. When you stop worshiping money, you can actually be free.
Money's, get rid of it. You'll always make more.
Right.
Stinginess, awful.
Awful.
What I do now is any extra money, I put together these big plastic Ziploc bags filled with shampoo, some fruit juices, you know, candy bars, toothbrush. And I go out and I find homeless people and I give them this bag of goodness.
Dude, you're at next level right now. Like, but you're kind of blowing my mind. That's like next level
shit. But that's when I'm happiest now.
I got to sell some bonds. I want to get there. Because right now it's like I think my most evil moments come from wanting money. And I don't want things. I'm not a thing motivated person, but I am like a freedom. Like right now I'm obsessed about having an outdoor sauna because I want to go hot, cold, hot, cold. And like I just want to fucking get that. So I'm thinking like, how do I get that? I got to sell more tickets. How do I sell more tickets? I need to create an enemy. Because that's how it really does
things. That's right. That's a terrible existence.
But freedom, though, is what I'm like bridging the gap between enlightened and evil, where it's like,
but here's,
I'm not looking
but here's
for shiny shit. I'm looking for fucking, I want hot in the winter. Like I want that. I don't
want
fucking Mercedes.
But you have to
remember,
you're the shine. You don't need anything shiny because
your heart. It's good for your heart, though. When you pump those blood vessels, yeah, dude, it gets negative 20 in Saranac Lake.
Oh yeah, but you can go jump in a pool and then get in a blanket. You can do anything. But if you start working on trying to enlighten the world, and your mission is just to make the world better and breathe it in,
yeah,
you'll start getting more rewards than you. All the money you've ever wanted will start coming in.
I think that's why I've actually made a good amount in my life because I wasn't raised materialistic. Like my parents consider that just the ultimate weakness. Like they drove 91 Plymouth Acclaims for like 25 years.
I'd been holding on to my money my whole life, and now I'm just starting to just let it go.
Yeah,
and
I'm in the same boat.
Feels so good.
It's unbelievable.
Even with this, you know.
You married into land. I married into debt.
Well, I haven't married yet.
We're talking three levels with a fucking driving range. Amy was $60,000 in master's degree debt.
Yeah, but you know these levels are. They haven't been watered in a long time.
And they need cement.
Yeah.
It requires digging.
I mean, if I had money, I'm sure I would have put a new jacuzzi in there. But instead, I just filled it with dirt and cement. So there's not as much money as you think.
But you got a bit out of it.
Exactly. But the thing with Faces of Death, I'll go back to that. Just because I talk about live shrimp now because I had sushi recently.
Yeah.
And my buddy was like, we were sitting at the counter of a fancy sushi restaurant. And the guy was like, you know, I want a live shrimp. And they're like, okay, it's $10 more. That's okay. And they hold the live shrimp in front of your face. Proof of life. Just so you see that the shrimp is alive.
Right.
You make eye contact with the shrimp. Then you nod. And then they just rip
it apart.
Right in front of you. So for $10, you're God for a split second.
Yeah.
You're directing your own snuff film.
Proof of life.
Then the guy, you know, holds it
it's
up
next to a newspaper.
Yeah, I know. And then the guy holds a live shrimp up to me, and he's like, "Would you like a live shrimp?" I'm like, "No, just give me a dead one and put that $10 toward, you know, one of those big beers that you fuck us on."
That's hilarious, dude.
And then he's just
the
like,
"Proof of life is great."
But then he's like, "Are you sure?" You know, and I'm like,
"I can kill it for you."
And I'm like, "Dude, I saw Faces of Death when I was, you know, 10, and I haven't recovered. The last thing I need to do is have an ISIS video in front of my face." And then he said, and I shit you not, he's like, "But they were friends. They came in together, these shrimp." And I said, "So now you're trying survivor guilt to sell a shrimp." I mean, sell. The guy was actually trying to guilt me.
Jesus.
I mean, it was a high tech. And I said, you know, maybe this shrimp hated that shrimp. You know, maybe that shrimp you killed was an asshole. Maybe this shrimp is like, fuck, finally.
How do you balance the need? Like, because you do need money to survive. How do you balance that need, like, with not letting it take you like Gollum? Like, that's why I love Lord of the Rings metaphor for the precious, because it's so true. It's like my precious. And then you become this monster.
But even Buddhists.
But I still got to pay. Health insurance is $1,300 a month right now.
Of course. Listen. They just canceled mine. I haven't worked since rush hour. They canceled
in one
that.
Year. Same thing happened to me. If you don't make $20K in the union in a 12-month period, they take it away from you.
But all Buddhists know that they need to make money so that they can continue to preach and help.
Right.
It's tough to help people if you're hungry and you can't even clothe yourself. So the Buddhist.
I got a Buddhist story for you. I used to work at a shabu shabu restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And Buddhists, like the full-blown orange-robed Buddhists would come in.
Yeah.
They can be bossy.
Of course.
I mean, they would be like shiitake mushrooms. And I'm like, you guys got a lot of needs for people that have no wants.
Yeah. That's true. But they know what they...
Yeah, I mean, they're specific.
They know what's good.
Yeah.
They're clear with their intentions. Yeah, they're living just, in the moment.
Right, they're doing...
In this moment, I want a fucking shiitake mushroom.
Right, and they're not going extravagant. They're not getting Kobe steak or anything. They would just get hot water, but still, they're very specific about what they need.
Yeah.
It's almost like having very little gives you a sense of almost OCD in a weird way.
I agree. The less that you possess, the more you value those possessions.
My grandfather had a piece of tinfoil that he inherited.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. He got a piece of tinfoil from his father.
Who got it from his father?
Yeah, pretty much. It's literally that era, like that immigrant.
What does he keep in it now?
He's dead.
Was he buried with it?
No, I think we just threw it away. It was tinfoil. I was a child.
Hey, have you seen that tinfoil?
Yeah. Now we just rip through shit. It's like you can't even fix anything. Like you there's no like DVD. There isn't even DVDs. There's no like computer repair guy.
Everything's a con.
It's all a con. I went to fucking Best Buy today to get a recorder for podcast. They didn't have that. Then I was looking for just a hard drive. They didn't have that. All they have is bullshit. It's like a new fucking wristwatch Apple thing in like 1,000 cases.
And but you don't even have to look that deep. I mean, that's electronics where we know we're getting fucked because they're withholding information. Each, you know, Apple phone, they have the next five lined up. They just wait when they release it. But the way I...
They've dug their graves deep.
The way I look at it is with half-fold toilet seat covers, because you pull it down and you put it on the toilet and the fold that goes down touches the water and it takes it before you can even sit down. So you can never just put one toilet seat cover.
You have to do two.
You have to do two, sometimes three. And then you sometimes have to put toilet paper on top just to weight it down.
What?
Like the other day, someone was like, you know, hurry up. I'm like, dude, I haven't even started. You know, I'm just preparing the seat.
The funniest thing is the one thing that may not be a con is toilet paper. It's the only thing that hasn't been innovated in like a fucking 100 years. It's just literally a roll of paper. Think about all, it's the one, it, I think. It,
and they get it, you with softness.
Oh, that is true. Quilted.
They put the fear of this will injure your ass. And now.
There's a lot of shame in that industry though. I think they're scared to like really advertise good shit.
Well, that's why Wet Wipes is defeating paper. They're trying. That's
and
the battle.
They should defeat paper. Now that I'm working with a baby's ass, Wet Wipes are like just so much fucking better than just stupid dry paper. Like, yeah. That's one of the worst things that you can wipe your ass with.
Whenever I go in to take a poop, if I have to, I bring water now.
Yeah.
And I'll wet down some of that toilet paper toward the end.
It's very smart. So but then don't you get like little things on your
ass?
Yeah,
but I like that.
Yeah, keeps you alive.
Keeps me honest.
Yeah. Are you on the road much these days?
I went on the road for the first time in a year last weekend.
Really?
I don't like the road.
Who likes the road? But I also don't like debt. I got to fucking...
I know, we're different. I'm trying to get rid of everything. I want nothing.
I should do that.
I'm just streamlining. But I went to Indianapolis this weekend. First time in a year that I've left LA. Because I was doing Rush Hour for the last year.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Good, but it got canceled. But we shot 13.
That's great.
And last week was the last episode they aired.
Awesome. I'll get it on iTunes.
But it's all gone. But I'm happy to not be working right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, because TV money will keep you going for a while.
Yeah. But Indianapolis, they fucked me on a muffin at the hotel.
What'd they do?
I bought a muffin in the lobby from the whoever was working the desk.
It was a con.
Because I turned around and saw that they were free behind me in one of those little breakfast nooks. They fucked me for a muffin.
Did they give it back?
No, but you know, I gave them $1. But I said, listen, if you're keeping these secrets, why would I want to stay here? The muffins are right behind me. You knew. He's like, I know we're just not allowed to tell.
Did he have blisters on his hands?
He may have.
From digging?
He may have.
Piece of shit.
I'm going to go back and kill him.
I got to bounce pretty soon. Good work. Oh, dude, you're literally my favorite person that ever comes on the podcast. You're so fucking funny.
Just got to love, man. Just got to love the world. Compassion training. Mind training.
Compassion. It has my two favorite words in it, come and passion.
Man, why not?
Come, passion. When do you think that word started, come? And someone was like, if you throw a U in it, it's jizz.
I mean, you can spend hours thinking about that. I'm not ready to go down that hole. But enthusiasm means with God.
It does?
From enthusia, the Greek. So enthusiasm is the key. To what we do. If we're enthusiastic and want to be there.
I get pretty jacked up.
Yeah, that's fine. But don't go too jacked.
No, like happy jacked.
Find the middle.
Yeah, I'm definitely optimistic. But I got to work on, throwing punches it goes. But I do have to pay my bills, so I'm plugging some dates. First weekend of September, Syracuse Funny Bone. Get tickets at hugepianist.com. Second week, I'm in Plano, Texas. Third week, Orlando Improv, and fourth week, Dallas. And then that's it for a bit. But I had to bang them out.
Good, man. If you need me, I'm on Twitter. That's it. I'm not going anywhere.
His tweets are very funny. It's at Kirk Fox.
That's it. What else? I'm just fine.
You can email me at whydidn'tthelaugh@gmail.com, and I will forward anything to Kirk if you want to respond to any of his claims.
Claims is an interesting word.
Oh,
so just wrapping this up, you said claims to imply that everything could be not true. That's interesting.
Dude, the only reason I occasionally will get a little skeptical is because of the bossy Buddhist from my old job.
That's all right.
So, yeah, if you want to talk about his claim. Sounds like it. So, and also, Case Closed, Beers Open, subscribe to that shit. We gotta get that going, because that, I love working with my brother, and it's fun to do actual shit. You want it? No, just listen to it. All right, much love.